One day not too long ago, a lady went to her pastor or minister and said, Pastor, I've decided that I'm not going to be coming to your church anymore. And the pastor responded, why? And the lady said, well, I saw a woman gossiping about another member. I saw a man that's a real hypocrite. I saw people sleeping during the service. Lots of people who aren't very friendly. And that's just among so many other things that clearly are wrong in your church. All these people are just not living God's love, and I need to go somewhere else. So the pastor replied, okay, before you go, I want you to do something. And then you come back and you talk to me. I want you to take this cup, and I'm going to fill it with water. Oops. Right to the brim. And then I want you to take this cup of water, and I want you to walk around the church. And when you've done that, come back and talk to me. So she said, yeah, okay, I guess I can do that. I take that water and I can walk around the church. I can do that. So she did that. She came back. And she said, you know, I've walked three times around the church because that's, you know, further instruction. And I think I'm still ready to go. And the pastor said, well, you know, before you leave, I want to ask you one more question. When you were walking around the church with that cup of water, did you see anybody gossiping? And she said, no. Did you see anybody sleeping in the church? No. Any hypocrites? No. Anyone not being friendly to you? No. Do you know why? No, I really don't. Because you were focused on that cup of water. You were focused on it to make sure you didn't stumble and you didn't spill any water at all. And you know, it's the same in our life. We have to keep our eyes on Jesus. We don't have time to really be seeing the mistakes of other people around us. What we can do maybe is to help reach out to that helping hand to help others concentrate on their own walk with God so they don't spill. Oftentimes, when what we think separates us from the love of God and Jesus are the things that don't even really matter, because we need to be focusing on our relationship with God and that walk that we take around in our life. And it makes all the difference for us. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we've all come to church today with lots of different things on our minds and all sorts of different expectations. And that's a good thing, Lord. Spirit of God, we ask that you will focus our thoughts. Help us, as we just heard in this story of this cup of water, to concentrate on you and your word. And if we've got troubles in our mind, if we've got lunch plans occupying our thoughts, if we've got anything other than you keeping us from experiencing your presence right here and now, we ask that you put them away for a few minutes. Help us to do that. Speak to us this morning. We pray this in Jesus' mighty healing name. Amen. Firstly, one thing I want to point out about God's love, and we heard that when we read Psalms, and when we talked, when we read about Solomon. Solomon in his dream, one of the first things he says to God is, I know your love is never ending. God's love is never ending. And Paul spends a great deal of time talking about that in Romans. The idea of these weeds that take over, this mustard seed and the lily of the valley, whatever it may be, the idea is that this little tiny thing just takes over. It's God's love is never ending. And as I kept trying to pull, and Don and I were pulling Lily of the Valley out for years, it kept coming back. It was never ending, it seemed. And in a way, there's a real analogy there about God's love. It also means that God's love for us is not conditional, especially regarding the people in the church. God's love just is. It's there, it's here, it's now, and it's constant. Secondly, because God's love is never-ending, it's consistent regardless of circumstance or people. And as Paul puts it, nothing can separate us from that love. We try. We make excuses. Often we point at things and people and their actions and blame all of that stuff for the lack of an experience of God's love in our own lives. The reality is, nothing really stops God's love from being in our lives. What can stop is our experience of God's love. And it's all too often caused by our own inability to see it and experience it. Because again, like the cup of water, we're not looking at God's love, we're looking at everything around us. And when we do that, we kind of spill the cup. And we miss the point of what we're doing. We're blinded often by the things around us, and maybe the actions of other people that we have in our lives. But those things don't stop God's love. You know, in a way, it's also kind of like putting up an umbrella on a sunny day and then claiming the sun isn't shining because all you can see is shade. And it's shady where you are when you look down, but that doesn't mean there isn't sunshine everywhere else. That doesn't mean the sun stopped shining just because you've blocked it out. Just because people around us don't necessarily seem to be showing God's love, that doesn't mean God's love isn't there. If we look closely at verse 35 in Romans 8, it doesn't say, well, let me see what it does say. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? It doesn't say what will separate us from the love of Christ. It says who. And I believe there's a good reason for that designator. The words that follow that verse, hardship, distress, persecution, famine, the need for food, nakedness, the need for clothing or housing, peril, sword, physical harm. All of these things could just as easily be descriptions of the actions of the who, other people in our lives. The who we have. Other people can certainly cause us to have bad personal feelings, such as hardship, distress, persecution, feeling like we need more food, need for clothing, peril, or physical harm. We can blame others for all of these things, but the point is that none of these things, none of these who, if we want, will separate us from God's love. And it's true, because the Bible says so. Well, if the actions of others can't stop or even change God's love for us or them, then we had best be changing our attitude when we feel put out like that lady in the story and unable to see God's love because of the actions of other people. One of the key reasons I believe that we are here as a congregation, as God's people, as the church with a capital C, it's to be in the process of being healed and renewed in spirit, mind, and body by experiencing daily that love, that never-ending love of God in our life. I want to say that again because it's very important. One of the key reasons we are here as a congregation, as God's people, as the church, is to be in the process of being healed and renewed in spirit, mind, and body by experiencing the love of God in our lives. If we were already perfect simply because we were at church and claiming to be Christians, really, what would be the point of Jesus in our ongoing daily experience of our life? The fact of the matter is that we are being made perfect. We are not already perfect. Philippians 3:12 says this, and again, it's Paul. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which I have, which also was laid hold of by Christ. Paul even says, the Scripture tells us, we're not there yet. We're in the process. We're in the process of change. We're not complete in that change yet. Like you wouldn't stop, like I guess where I'm going with this is some people stop coming to church because they say, the people in church, you know, they're terrible. In a way, that's a good thing because God's working on us. He doesn't expect us to be bad. Paul talks about that when we remember, if we read in Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8, being bad does not mean that God's grace can abound. So should we continue to be bad? No. But the point is, we're here to be being made better in Christ. We're being here to be perfected in Christ. People who don't go to church because of people who seem sick would be similar to saying, I guess, I'm not going to the doctor because every time I go there, I'm in a room full of sick people. Why do I want to go there? He's obviously not very good at his job. Of course we go to the doctor. Of course we go to the waiting room because they're all in the process of being made well. That's why they're there, and kind of that's why we're here. We're here because we need something in our lives, something that is Jesus, that is creating that Christ-like image in all that we do and say. It's not just me that needs to be fixed. If you look around the room, everybody needs to be fixed. We all got stuff that needs to be fixed. And that's why we're here. That's why we come to worship God on Sunday mornings. That's why we read Scripture through the week. That's why we pray. That's why we support one another the way that we do. None of us are here because we're already perfect and doing all the right Christian things all the time. We're here to know and experience a God who loves us where we are right now in our lives. And to know and experience a God that is journeying with us to make us become more like Jesus. You know, when we spend too much time focusing on others and the things they do, we really can't focus on Christ, again, like our glass of water. This lady had to walk around, gone walking around the church not looking at the glass. If she tried to pick the cup of water up, you know, and I don't know if you're careful here. I already spilled once. If she picked the cup of water up and just walked around and said, you know, Donna, I think that, oh, you know. Strange things could happen. In fact, had she spilled, maybe that other person wouldn't have felt so good. Maybe that other person might have stopped coming to church too because of her actions. All she would have accomplished by looking around and not focusing on Christ would really simply have got others upset. And we see that more and more. She might have had other people come and tell her pastor the same thing she had. All those people that are, you know, never looking at Christ, they're always paying attention to other people and they're all doing bad things. We keep our minds set on Christ. We're reminded, as it says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." That means even the actions of other people around us, no matter what they do or say, nothing separates us from the love of God. Not even the actions that we ourselves, knowingly or unknowingly, do can separate anyone from God's love. Shouldn't we then be making every effort, every conscious effort, to be loving others and helping them in the same way that God loves us, always and unendingly? Amen. Let us prepare to present our offerings to God this morning. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. It's the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches." Let us offer our gifts this day in the same way that they can grow and become great, for the kingdom of heaven is near.